You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey, y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode number 33. I hope you enjoyed the last show, which was all about the history of City Park. We had a great discussion with John Hopper, the chief development officer over there. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. You'll learn all about how City Park became one of the largest urban parks in the United States, and all the fun things there are to do is what we're going to cover today. But if you really want the history and the background of City Park, that's a great place to go check it out. And again, that's episode 32, The History of City Park. Today's show is going to be sponsored by me. You might have heard on past shows that I've been offering a travel consultation. And so what I'll do in that is it kind of goes over where to stay, what to do, eat, see, that sort of thing. But it's personalized for your trip. It includes a 20 to 30 minute discussion with me on the phone to get a sense of your preferences, when you're going to visit, your price points, all that sorts of stuff. If you're interested in it, send me an email. My email address is mark@beyondbourbonst.com. I've been doing those pretty regularly now, and it's been a lot of fun and a way for people to just get a very personalized plan for their New Orleans experience. So let me know if you're interested in that. Before we get into today's topic, I want to say thanks to those of you that have left me a review on iTunes. I haven't had the chance to do a solo show in a while, which means that I haven't gotten to talk about iTunes reviews. So I want to do that a little bit. We're up to 123 reviews now on iTunes, and we're consistently the number one rated New Orleans podcast on iTunes. So if you search for New Orleans on iTunes, almost every day, this podcast, Beyond Bourbon Street, is going to come up number one. Very occasionally, it might get bumped by a Saints podcast, but for the most part, it's Beyond Bourbon Street. So thank you so much for that. And what it really means to me is that I found a community of people that love New Orleans as much as me, like to talk about it and listen about the history and things to do and all that sort of stuff. So that's been really a lot of fun. I really appreciate it. But now on to the reviews. So I want to say thanks to Haley127. Thanks to Lana Marie, who writes, "My first time in New Orleans was a blur, but I knew it was special. So I planned another trip about 5 years later. And in preparation, I found this podcast and have listened to almost every episode by now. The podcast and my visit last month have officially sold me on the idea of moving. I fell in love with the city and maybe a bartender, but I bet everyone falls in love with him. Mark, I can't wait to be your neighbor." That's so cool, Lana Marie. And I hear that so often from people that they come to visit and they just fall in love with New Orleans and want to move. And I say, come on. I have this theory that that New Orleans seeps into your pores, maybe like the humidity in the summer. And once it gets in, you just can't get it out. So that's a cool thing. Thanks also to New Mimi, who says she was born and raised in Metairie, which is a suburb of New Orleans, and she's been away from home since 1977. She writes, "I love your show. It's a little piece of home away from home for me, and I visit every chance I get, but I look forward to trying some of the new things along with the old in the city. Love the history, too. Thanks." And the last one I want to talk about today is from Air Force, and he writes, "As a non-native living in New Orleans, I can be just as guilty as tourists of not appreciating the city for everything beyond its flashy facade. Mark's podcasts are so well researched and produced, and it's lovely to listen to a local that's so passionate about the city." I love these reviews, and I just read them in the order they were received. Most of these were back in November and December, since I'm a little behind, as I mentioned, in doing a solo show. But just in those couple, you have somebody who visited and now wants to move, you have someone who has moved here, and you have sort of a New Orleans expat. And I really love, that kind of encompasses the people that I hear from regularly, from you all. People really love talking about New Orleans, and you feel connected just like I do, whether you live here, or you want to live here, or you used to live here. So thanks so much, y'all. Again, we're up to 123 reviews on iTunes, and it means a lot to me because that helps expose the show to other people and other listeners. So with that, let's jump into today's show. As I mentioned last time on episode 32, we did the history of City Park, and it became pretty obvious that we should do another show about the things to do in the park. So what I've come up with is my top 10 list of things to do in City Park. And I got to tell you, this was pretty hard because I could probably come up with a good 50 or 100 things you ought to do in the park. And by the time we're done today, I think it'll probably be more than 10. So we're going to kind of get into that. And I'll tell you, they're not necessarily in sort of best to worst. They're just the things that I love to do in the park and that I think you'd love to do. So before we do that, I think we ought to get into some basic tips about the park. First of all, the location. So it's in Mid-City, in the Mid-City neighborhood in New Orleans, and it's about 4 miles from the French Quarter, maybe a little bit less if you go straight down Esplanade from the river. It's accessible by streetcar, the Canal Street streetcar, which are the red ones. And there's also, and before I move on, that's $1.25 each way, and you can get something called the Jazzy Pass for unlimited rides, and you can purchase those for 1 day, where they have, I think it's 3, 5, and 7 day passes. They also have a monthly pass. But you get $1.25 each way is great. It'll drop you off right in front of the main entrance to City Park. And there's a lot to see and do along the way. But if you don't want to take the streetcar, there's plenty of parking inside the park and on the perimeter of it. You can obviously also take a Lyft or an Uber, or you could ride a bicycle. There's now the Lafitte Greenway from right on the edge of the French Quarter that would take you pretty close to the park, or there's lots of options with that. I think most people that are visiting probably either have a car or they take the streetcar. But the streetcar is certainly a great way to get there. There's also a couple things about the park itself. There's plenty of shade. As you heard on the last show, there are, there's like 2,500 oak trees, many of them 400, 500, 600 years old. The oldest are between 800 and 900 years old, I think. But you can still get plenty of sunshine in the park. So you want to have sunscreen, a hat, bring some water, comfortable shoes, because you're going to do a lot of walking. As you heard last time, there's over 1,300 acres in City Park, and not that you're going to cover it all, but it's easy to put in a couple miles without thinking about it. Definitely some sunglasses. This is New Orleans. It's pretty sunny most of the year. And as we record this, we're heading into the summer, so we're definitely going to get some hot, sunny days. And then you want to have your camera or a cell phone camera or both. So again, how are you going to get there is going to influence a little bit of what you choose to do. Some of the things, and we'll talk about it today, some of the things I'm going to suggest are a little bit easier to get to if you have a car, but most of them, if you take the streetcar or again a Lyft or an Uber, you're going to be right in the middle there and not have a problem. I really love taking the streetcar. I think you're blending a couple New Orleans traditions there, not only the park, but the streetcars as well, so that's a lot of fun. I want to kind of give you the orientation of the park. There's a great map. There's two resources. City Park, New Orleans, citypark.com, and friendsofcitypark.com. And we'll link all that up in the show notes today, which will be at beyondbourbonst.com/33. But the getting a sense of the park, if you come into the main entrance of the park, it's basically a rectangle, and you'd be coming into one of the long sides. So the borders of it are City Park Avenue, which is one of the shorter sides, and then right where you would come in on the streetcar is Carrollton Avenue. It quickly turns into Wisner, and that goes all the way out to Robert E. Lee Boulevard, which is sort of one of the northern edge, the shorter edge. And then if you went into the park on the back end would be Marconi. Kind of an easy way to think about it. If you're looking at your cell phone kind of from top to bottom and you turn it so that one of the long edges is on the bottom, then that kind of gives you the layout of the park, if you will. So the short edge that would be to your left would be City Park Avenue. The other side would be Robert E. Lee, and then the bottom would be Wisner, and the top would be Marconi. Again, I'll put a link to it, and there's a couple of really good maps online, but it just kind of orients you to when you come in on the streetcar, you're kind of in the bottom corner, just past the bottom corner where Wisner and City Park Avenue intersect. And really in that half is where a lot of the things are to do that we're going to talk about today. And again, if you take the Canal Street streetcar, you're going to end up, it's going to dead end right at a statue of P.G.T. Beauregard, who was a Confederate Civil War general. And actually, there's a big controversy, or not even a controversy anymore in New Orleans, that they're in the process of, they're going to take down the statues of some Civil War generals. And so that's one of them. But when you get off, if you take the red streetcar to the end of the line, you're going to get off on your right of the streetcar. On your left is going to be City Park, and on your right is going to be Bayou St. John. Now, Bayou St. John, by the way, is a fun area to go walk and explore. There's some great architecture. And if you headed right down Esplanade Avenue, so you cross Bayou St. John, you would be heading back towards the French Quarter, and there's a lot to do there. But that's not the topic for today. The topic's going to be City Park. So you hop off the streetcar, you're going to be right there at the front of the park. To your left is the park, And if you walk down that sort of promenade or boulevard, you're walking towards the New Orleans Museum of Art, which is in the park. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's talk about my 10 favorite things to do in the park. First of all is visit the Old Grove, which is the oldest part of the park. If you listened to the last show with John, you heard us talk about that in quite a bit of detail. But the Old Grove really starts right there at the corner, not far from where you would get off the streetcar, at the corner of City Park Avenue and Wisner Boulevard. And there's so much in there, it feels like stepping back in time. It's the oldest part of the park. It is the part that later would become the Allard Plantation, and you can see a sign there commemorating that. But the oldest trees in the park are there. Some of them are named. You can find the McDonough Oak. You can find McDonough was the gentleman that eventually gave the grounds to the city. There's the Anseman Oak and there's Suicide Oak. But that grove right on the edge of City Park Avenue and between the lagoon, that lagoon is actually part of what was originally Bayou Metairie. So that's the oldest part, and it's just beautiful. There's a walking path back there. There are several small bridges that we'll talk about in a moment. There's a fountain with a nymph in it that's quite beautiful. It's a wonderful place to explore. That's a great place for pictures. In fact, you'll often see brides getting their formal pictures taken there. But that's a fun place for either casual or if you want to take pictures of the kids or the family, that's a great place to do it. That's a place that many generations of New Orleans have learned to climb trees, actually, because those live oaks, in many cases, the branches dip down and touch the ground. So it's really easy to climb up on the trees and just to hang out there. Again, so that's a fun thing to do, whether you have kids with you or it's adults. But what I love about it is just the history back there. It's absolutely beautiful. You can step out of the park and see some great architecture there along City Park Avenue. And for me, it brings back memories of childhood. I can remember running through there. My Uncle Joe used to take his kids, my cousins, Shannon and Brandon, there on the weekends. And we would inevitably wind up running around back there. So a couple of things back there that I really love, besides what I've already described, is that there's a couple of little small Works Progress Administration era bridges, footbridges. And they're pretty cool. So a couple of them go, or at least one of them goes to a very small island. And that's pretty neat because you can walk back, you cross over this tiny bridge, and you're on a little island and you're looking at the peristyle, which is sort of this Greek-looking colonnade. It used to be popular, and I think John talked about it last time on the show. It used to be popular in the mid-1900s for like dancing. They would have a big, not big band, but like John Philip Sousa type music there, and people would dance or come to hear the concerts at Pop Bandstand, which is right near it. But you get this really gorgeous view. In fact, if you follow us on Instagram at Beyond Bourbon ST, I had put a picture of the peristyle, and I'll throw that back up in the next week or so. But you just feel like you're in a completely different place. You cross these little bridges and this little island. So it's pretty neat. I remember, again, as a kid playing on the bridges. And one of my really prized possessions, my mom, who's a great artist, about 15 years ago painted a scene of one of those bridges for me. And it's one of the things I really treasure. So that's a pretty neat thing to go back there and wander around. You can also, if you keep going in that old grove and with City Park Avenue on your left, you'll get to the original entrance to the park. It's commemorated and has been for a long time by the Pizzotti Gate. Pizzotti was a steamboat captain here in New Orleans, and he donated the funds which later were used for that gate. Right outside of that is probably the closest restaurant to City Park. It's one of the Brennan's restaurants. It's Ralph's on the Park. It's owned by Ralph Brennan. And it was originally a place called Sauz, S-A-U-X. And it was a coffee shop or like a rest stop. So if you think that was the original entrance, and that building goes back to the 1860s. It was a coffee shop owned by a gentleman of that name, So. And so when you came in, usually by mule carriage or mule drawn carriage from the city, it took a while, obviously. And so you would stop there and get refreshments. So's is long gone, but Ralph's on the Park is still there, and it's a great place. Again, it's a Brennan's restaurant. It's not casual, but it's not super formal. Really great New Orleans food with a tinge of Italian. Really a nice place. In fact, it used to be something else. It used to be City Park Tavern or Tavern on the Park or something similar to that. And I can remember going there in high school for a a homecoming dance or something, but I digress. Nonetheless, the Old Grove is really neat. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of history there, and it's the oldest part of the park. So it's definitely worth seeing and taking pictures. And one of the things is that if you take, there's one bridge that if you cross over Bayou Metairie, then you're right behind a building called the Casino, which we talked about last time. Well, the casino houses the Morning Call, which is a terrific place to get beignets, coffee and beignets. And look, I love Café du Monde in the French Quarter as much as anyone. But what I love even more about City Park and the Morning Call is that there's plenty of parking there and there's almost never a crowd. And I say that you're going to go and there's going to be a tour bus that shows up, right? Because that happens sometimes. But you can sit. There is an indoor area. There's also a covered outdoor area. And it's really a nice place. It's where we take the kids more often than not when they want to go get coffee and beignets, or not coffee, right? We get the coffee, they get the beignets. But it's convenient. Like I said, it's not hard to park. And if you've wandered through those old grove of trees, you can just walk across a footbridge and be right there and get your beignets, or you can do the reverse. You can park over near the casino if you have a car, enjoy the beignets, and then wander into the old grove and work off some of the calories you just consumed. Another interesting difference between Morning Call and Café du Monde is that at Café du Monde, your beignets come with powdered sugar already on them. But at Morning Call, the tradition's always been that they come naked, and then you put the powdered sugar on. So that can be a lot of fun. It can also be a little messy. My kids love that, where they get to put the powdered sugar on me and on the beignets, so that can be a lot of fun. The other thing right there is if you do have kids with you, there's a really nice playground right outside the Morning Call. So they can consume the beignets and all the sugar, and then they can go run around, and you can sit on a bench right there and keep an eye on them. But it's really a nice playground combined with the Morning Call. They also, at Morning Call, they have live music pretty regularly. It'll usually be somebody maybe playing a guitar and singing, but it's nice. It's just a nice feel. So keep that in mind. If you've been to Café du Monde and you want something different, or if you're planning on visiting the park, you definitely ought to stop at the Morning Call. And that would be number two on my list. I don't know if I said that, but go have some beignets at Morning Call. All right, let's see, number three. And we'll stay right in that area while I'm on it. The number three thing I have on my list is to go visit the peristyle and the Grand Lawn right there. So if you've gone to the Morning Call, which is in the Casino building, and incidentally, Casino, we talked about that last time. It's called the Casino, but there's never been gambling there. And John was talking about maybe it came from a Spanish word that basically means rest area, refreshment area. And I had a couple of listeners write into me, and I appreciate that. There's a Sicilian term, or an Italian word, that also is very similar. So given that we have had a large Spanish population, obviously, having been under Spanish colonial rule at one point, and then had a large population of Sicilian immigrants, it strikes me that it probably was probably meant that idea of casita, which sort of in New Orleans terms became casino. In any case, you'll hear locals call it the casino or the old casino building, but there was never any gambling there. Let's see, let me try to orient you a little bit with where we are there. That's on Dreyfus Avenue, so it's kind of behind the Museum of Art. And again, the easiest thing is just to get a park map, and I'll link to that, but it's easy enough to find online. So if you've gone to the Morning Call, right outside the Morning Call again, there's a pretty big playground area. And just past it, if you walked literally straight through the park, straight through the playground, you'd come to Pop Bandstand, which is a nice, it's small, but it was a bandstand that was used in the early 1900s. And recently it's been used again for pretty regular concerts out there. And people bring their chairs or just hang out there right near the Morning Call and enjoy the music. But the peristyle is really neat. I think there's 40 columns or so. And it seems it's right on Bayou Metairie. There's a couple of lions, stone lions, facing the bayou. So it's a pretty great place. You often see people taking pictures of their kids on the lions. And you see adults taking pictures. And just the other day, I saw like a photo shoot going on. Those columns and the way the light hits it, there always seems to be great just rays of sunshine going through. There's some great red bricks around it. It's just really a great place for photography. So that's a fun place to go check out. And right across from it is what they now call the Grand Lawn. It's a big swath of grass, and it's surrounded by, there's some swings that are covered. There's also some park benches. It's a really nice area, and you'll see kids and adults running around kicking a soccer ball, I saw someone flying a kite there the other day, although there's trees pretty close. But they were doing it. We take the kids out there. Our children are 5 years old. We have twins, you've probably heard. And that's a fun place to go run around with them. And it's, you know, relatively contained. But that's a pretty neat thing. Before Hurricane Katrina, the space where that sits and the next thing we're going to talk about was the tennis center in the park. They still have tennis in the park, but they've moved it closer or over on Marconi, sort of on the other side of the park. But this used to be a big, I think they had over 40 tennis courts there. And so that got wiped out in Katrina. And when they rebuilt it and moved it, they created this great lawn with parking all around it. And it's really become a place that people are drawn to. You'll see, I was going through there just the other day after work. And there are people just sort of relaxing and hanging out. It's a good place to read a book or just relax. Again, let the kids run around a little bit. And it's really made, while I enjoyed the tennis center before Katrina, it's really made it sort of a destination in the park. And I think it's an improvement, frankly, over the way it was. And the tennis center is quite nice now where it is and has, in some ways, easier access to get to it. So definitely consider going to check out the Parasol and the Grand Lawn. Right next to that is the fourth thing on my list, and that's City Putt. So City Putt is what you're probably familiar with in other places, sort of like Putt-Putt, although it's not that brand. You know, it's also sometimes called Goofy Golf, but it's a little miniature golf course, right? And while on the one hand you might think you could do that in lots of resort places or at the beach, those kind of golf courses, as is typical of most things in New Orleans, in City Park they've managed to personalize it and give it a New Orleans flavor, Louisiana flavor. And so it's two 18-hole courses. One is New Orleans influenced and one is Louisiana influenced. So as you go through the two courses, depending on which one you choose, of course, each one has something specific to New Orleans or to Louisiana. So I think you've heard me mention early on Mr. Bingle. Mr. Bingle was a Christmas character in New Orleans that was the creation of Maison Blanche, which is a now defunct department store. But Maison Blanche had Mr. Bingle, and Mr. Bingle was New Orleans' own Christmas character. Well, there you can see Mr. Bingle there on one of the holes at City Putt. It's fun. It's closed on Mondays, but it's open the rest of the week. And there's a couple of things I like about it. One, it's open till 10 o'clock on weeknights, and it's open till midnight on Fridays and Saturdays. They also, this is New Orleans, so they sell beer there. It's $8 for adults and $6 for kids. If you're a member of Friends of City Park, then you get a discount there, and we'll talk about Friends of City Park later. But it's just kind of a neat thing to do. We had a lot of family in town over the holidays, back between Christmas and New Year's, and we went as a family, and it was a lot of fun. It's not super shaded, because like I mentioned, it's where the tennis courts used to be, so you definitely want to be mindful of that and bring a hat and something to drink. Of course, like I said, you could get beer there, and of course, other snacks. But it's a fun way to spend a couple hours, you know, and that's a fun thing if you're thinking about, if you're here for the holidays, maybe with family, and you just everybody's looking to go get out and do something easy, that's a fun thing to do. And if not everybody wants to play golf, then you can go wander through some of the other things we talked about. So that's number four on my list. And moving on, number five, which is, again, right across the street from City Putt and from the Great Lawn, is Storyland and the Carousel Gardens Amusement Park. So again, a couple of these are maybe more oriented towards families, but not all of them, as you'll see. But Storyland is a pretty cool thing that I really just sort of took for granted as a kid. It has 20 or so larger-than-life storybook characters and scenes. So there's the old lady in the shoe, and there's the whale from Moby Dick, and all those sorts of things. Humpty Dumpty greets you when you walk in. A couple of things I really love about it. It was created in the 1950s, as we talked about in the last show, but most of the characters were the actual scenes that you see were created by local float artist Blaine Kern. So again, like everything in New Orleans, it has a very New Orleans connection. So while they're storybook and fable kind of characters and scenes, they were done, and so they very much have the Mardi Gras float feel and look to them. And again, this is another place in the park. I just have such fond memories. The whale, which you can actually, kids can step into the mouth of the whale. Today, it kind of just has like a drawing on it. But when I was a kid, when you stepped into the whale, there was actually an aquarium. You know, so you'd see a plate glass and you'd see the fish swimming. but I understand it was really hard to keep up. And I can remember it always sort of being, you know, covered with algae and that kind of thing. So they've taken the aquarium out, but lots of New Orleanians my age or older probably have that same memory. So admission is $4 to get into Storyland, and I'll kind of talk about the fees there in a moment because that's a little confusing. But it's also free if your child is under 36 inches tall. So that's something to keep in mind. And then the other part, so there's Storyland, and then there's what they call the Carousel Gardens Amusement Park. So in the amusement park, they have 17 rides, including a miniature train, which we'll talk about, a carousel. They have it's called the Ladybug Roller Coaster. I'm sure it's the first roller coaster I ever rode. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a miniature version of a roller coaster. So it certainly felt like it went pretty fast. And so for kids of a certain age, that's a lot of fun. There's a Tilt-A-Whirl, which again, just brings back memories to me of probably being 12 years old or something like that. There's bumper cars. Again, there's 17 or 18. There's a small Ferris wheel, which actually has really neat views of the city, especially at night. So, you know, you can go in and do all these sorts of things. There's basically the admission is a little confusing to me, and I'll refer you to the website if you decide to come visit and do that. But basically, it's $4 to $6 to get in, and then there's a separate price to ride the rides. They're, I think, $4 each, but there's a wristband for $18. So here's the bottom line. If you have kids and you want to go in, it's $22 admission and unlimited rides, essentially. The thing that just gets a little crazy to me is if you just want to go in and ride the train or the carousel, it's a little pricey on the one hand. But if you have young kids, this is far cheaper than an amusement park in most places, right? Now, it's scaled down, so it's nothing on the order of Disney World or Six Flags, but it's not meant to be. You know, if you're going for an afternoon, and again, you want to get out and just do something with the kids, it's a lot of fun. We take the kids there, and they're really at the age now where they can ride some of the things, and they really enjoy it. And they look forward to the ones they can't ride yet, like the roller coaster. But the two rides that I want to mention are, one, the carousel. So the carousel is a turn-of-the-century, early 1900s carousel. It has 54 carved wooden horses and then a couple other animals. There's a giraffe and a lion and a camel, I think, and then a couple chariots that don't go up and down that you can sit in. But they're beautiful. And they're in a carousel house, which, you know, it's enclosed. It's got, I think, 1,000 or 1,500 panes of glass in it. So during the day, it gets a lot of light. It's just a really beautiful space. You might have heard me mention before, there's also a carousel at the Audubon Zoo. So my kids love both. The one in City Park just has a sort of more romantic feel to me. Again, maybe it's the enclosure. So that's definitely worth checking out, whether you have kids or you're a carousel fan or you just want to see it. And then there's a miniature train that takes you on about a 2-mile journey throughout City Park, and that's pretty neat. You go through the old grove again, you see parts of Storyland, you ride through a little tunnel, you can see the workshop where they work on the trains. And one of the other things we'll talk about later is Celebration in the Oaks, and that's definitely a time that you want to ride the train. So keep that in mind. It's pretty fun. Again, particularly if you have kids, it's a no-brainer to me to go do it. Like I said, if I have a gripe with it, it's that the pricing structure is a little confusing, but I'll put the links to friendsofcitypark.com on the website, and that's the easiest way to go take a look and see either neworleanscitypark.com or friendsofcitypark.com. That latter one is a not-for-profit organization, so you can join, and it give you discounts on a lot of things in the park. And if you have a family of four, depending on what you would want to do, it might be worth it just to join and you might come out ahead. And certainly if you're local or if you are going to visit more than twice in a year, then it's certainly worth checking that out. But again, Storyland and also the Carousel Gardens Amusement Park are pretty neat experiences. Even if you don't want to go into the amusement park part, the Storyland part with the fables and the tales and all that, it's pretty neat to see it. And again, certainly as a kid, we spent a lot of time there. It's a fairly popular place for birthday parties. So if you're listening to this in New Orleans and you have young children, you've undoubtedly been there before. I also want to mention inside Storyland, you'll find there's a miniature train garden. And so the trains, I don't know what the scale is. I don't know much about miniature trains. Not, And this is different than the one I was just talking about that you ride on. This is a model train. And so along the model train, some of the train cars themselves are either street cars or the Smoky Mary, which was an early train here in New Orleans. They pass by actual things on the track that are reminiscent of New Orleans in terms of the architecture and the houses and that sort of thing. So from what I understand, if you are a model train enthusiast, people really love it. They think it's terrific. And the guys that maintain it, they have a little workshop right there, and it's pretty easy to get them talking about it and get them to show you what they're working on there. So we usually see it either when we go to a birthday party or, again, celebration in the Oaks near the holidays, near Christmas and Thanksgiving. But it's really pretty cool, and certainly if you're a train enthusiast, it's something to keep in mind. All right, so let's move on now. I can't remember if I've done 5 or 6, so I'm going to assume I've done 5, and we'll call this one 6. And if not, eventually you're going to get some lagniappe here anyway, a little something extra. So we're going to end up with more than 10. But I want to talk about the sculpture garden. So the sculpture garden is located just behind the New Orleans Museum of Art. So again, if you came in the main entrance on the red streetcar and you walk down the promenade, which is Lee Long Avenue, it hits a circle, which is where the New Orleans Museum of Art is. And as you're looking at the museum, kind of off to the left and just back a bit, there's like a lawn right in front, but just back left, there is the Dueling Oak. So there used to be Dueling Oaks. And again, as the name implies, these were the site of duels. Well, one of the oak trees was knocked out by a hurricane years ago. So there's now just the Dueling Oak. But right next to it is the sculpture garden, which has really become one of my absolute favorite things to do in the park. It's 5 acres, and it has more than 60 works of art. It largely focuses on 20th century American sculptors, but not entirely. There's fountains and bridges. There's a Daddy Longlegs spider, which is really large. You can walk underneath it. We were there just the other day, my daughter Olivia and I, kind of checking it out and doing some research for the podcast. And unfortunately, the spider is out for conservation, was what the sign said. We were both a little disappointed because we really liked the long-legged spider there. There's a sculpture by Robert Indiana. It's Love, L-O-V-E. And if you're, again, if you're of a certain age, you'll remember the Love stamps. I think that was probably in the 70s or 80s. So that's really a cool thing there, and it's in a beautiful setting. For whatever reason, they get a little antsy if you try to post pictures with the kids around that or with family. So if you do go and you want to take a picture, I would just suggest you do it quickly. There's a statue or a sculpture of Hercules the Archer. That was it's really neat. It's a cool thing to see. We saw there's at least one sculpture by Renoir. And again, I think there's 60 or 64 total sculptures. There's a famous artist who's now deceased from New Orleans or from Louisiana, George Roderick. You might be familiar with the Roderick Blue Dog. Well, in the sculpture garden, kind of in the back part of the garden, there's a tricolor Roderick dog. So it has 3 sides to it. One's yellow, one's blue, and one's red. The kids love kind of running around that thing. So that's a lot of fun back there. There's also a free audio tour. As you walk in, there's now, while admission's free to the sculpture garden, there's a little booth there, and you can they'll tell you how to get, I think you can use your cell phone actually and pick up the app and listen to a free guided tour. They have a lot of events in the sculpture garden. So just the other day when we were there, it was a Friday and they were about to show a movie. And I think they were going to charge a couple of dollars for that. And they had a food truck right out front. So it was just a beautiful evening. And of course, this being New Orleans, they also had a bar set up on the lawn there. So you could have a drink and enjoy the movie on a big screen they were setting up. So we didn't do that, but it's a great place to wander around. If you just wanted to relax and read a book or just enjoy it, perfect for that. There's a lot of shade in that part of the park. And so there's some room for the kids to run around. We've been in there when they were doing plays, open air plays. We've also seen when people were just sort of practicing different things there. So it's really become, it's just so relaxing when you go in there. It's become one of my favorite things. I don't think that there is a charge usually. At least when we went in, there was no charge. In fact, let me check that real quick. Okay, and we're back. I just wanted to pause and check that. And it is right that the sculpture garden is always free. The New Orleans Museum of Art, which is right next door, and we'll talk about in a minute, is free to Louisiana residents on Wednesdays, which is pretty neat. But the Sculpture Garden is always free. It's one caveat. If you're bringing small children, there seem to be a lot of sculptures that are anatomically correct. And it's something I hadn't thought of before. I guess I hadn't been in there in a while with the kids. And again, my daughters are 5.5 years old now. So as we were doing some scouting Friday night, Olivia and I, that was certainly something she noticed. So I would just keep that in mind. But what I like, there's so many things I like about the Sculpture Garden. But as you walk into the front, there's sort of some classical sculptures. And it's really well done in terms of how they kind of, you're just sort of guided without even knowing it across these various bridges. And it's sort of like being in different rooms. And the rooms almost have a theme. So you might be in sort of this classical area in the front, and then you go through some sort of modern art, and then you get to the back, and there's some Louisiana-focused things. It's just really thoughtfully done, and it just puts you at peace and at ease when you walk in. And again, definitely something if you're going to visit City Park, this is one that I would not miss. I'd go in the Old Grove. I'd certainly have some beignets and coffee. I might do some of these other things that we're talking about, but I would definitely wander into the Sculpture Garden and check it out. So that brings me to number 7. While you're there, again, right in the circle as you're coming into the main entrance to the park, is the New Orleans Museum of Art. It's also known as NOMA, N-O-M-A. They house more than 40,000 pieces of art, not to mention any traveling exhibits that might visit. They're particularly noted for their French and American art and their photography. They also have a lot of glass art and quite a bit of African and Japanese works as well. On Wednesdays, and this is every Wednesday throughout the year, Louisiana residents get in for free. So if you're listening to the podcast here in New Orleans or anywhere in Louisiana, you can get in for free on Wednesdays, and a lot of people don't realize it. So that's a neat thing. I don't think it necessarily includes some of the special exhibits or the traveling exhibits, but certainly good to keep in mind. What I like about the Museum of Art, well, for one, it's easy to park, and the parking's free. So that's not always the case when you visit major metropolitan areas and their museums of art, but it is here. I also think it's pretty accessible. While 40,000 pieces is a lot, the museum itself is not huge, so you could certainly see the whole thing without, you know, in just a couple hours, without tying up your whole day, without feeling overwhelmed. We lived in the Washington, D.C. area for many years, and I loved the Smithsonian, but, you know, it was hard. You couldn't really see even one of the museums fully in a day. You could kind of run through it a little bit and see the highlights. But in the New Orleans Museum of Art, you really could go through and take your time and see everything. And again, not have taken up a whole day. You could spend a couple hours there. As you would expect, there are traveling exhibits. In fact, the one right now we haven't been to yet, but my wife and I are talking about going, is called A Life of Seduction, Venice in the 1700s. So obviously that's a nice tie-in to New Orleans, just coming off of Carnival, with the history of Carnival in Venice and the masks and that sort of thing. So it looks great. Over the years, I can remember as a kid, there was a King Tut exhibit in the late 1970s. They had painted the DeLong Avenue, so the main boulevard in. They had painted it Nile blue. And that was pretty interesting. And I remember the line stretched for a long time waiting to get in. And then in more recent times, there was a really great French Impressionist exhibit. And I remember seeing some great works of art, particularly by Monet, of course, but others. So even if they don't have a traveling exhibit that you're interested in, if you do love art and fine art, it's certainly worth checking out. Let's go on to the Botanical Garden. So the Museum of Art was number 7, or at least I think it was number 7. So we'll talk about the Botanical Garden. So as you go behind the New Orleans Museum of Art, you get onto what's called Roosevelt Mall. So again, in the last show, you heard all about the impact of the WPA and all the work and expansion and the infrastructure that was put into the park. And so it was named, the boulevard behind it was called the Roosevelt Mall. And right off the mall there is the Botanical Garden. Again, this is a really easy walk from either the Museum of Art or if you've headed over to the Morning Call or anywhere in that area. We've really been focused so far on kind of the, if you will, the left half of the park. And that's where most of the things we're going to talk about are today. But the Botanical Garden is about 12 acres. It was started in the 1930s, and so they have some rose gardens that go back to that time period, and they've expanded it, of course. But one of the features besides the flowers and the plants is that there's a lot of sculptures. There's more than a dozen sculptures there by Enrique Alferez. And you might have heard John and I talk about Enrique the last time. He was very involved in creating sculpture and art in the park during the WPA in the 1930s. And rumor has it, at least, he was in Pancho Villa's army. So he came from Mexico to New Orleans, and I think he just died around the year 2000 or so. But nonetheless, you can see about a dozen of his sculptures. I think it might be 14 in the Botanical Garden. Throughout the year, on Wednesdays, it's free to Louisiana residents again on Wednesdays. But on Thursdays throughout the year, there's a Twilight Concert Series that costs $10 to get in. It holds about 500 people. There's like a tea room or a garden room there in the Botanical Garden. And the doors open at 5 each week. Music starts at 6. I think you can even buy a season pass for the whole year or for a couple of months. And the music runs quite a wide range. We've been a couple times. It's a lot of fun, and that's something to keep in mind. So you can go enjoy the Botanical Garden, and then again on Thursdays you can enjoy the music. And that's a really fun, easy thing to do. You could spend just a little bit of time, or again, you could go to the concert on Thursday night. It kind of leads to the next thing, which is Celebration in the Oaks. And this is number 9 on my list. Again, I'm not in any particular order, just trying to keep myself on some sort of track. So Celebration in the Oaks, I think I've spoken about on previous episodes of the podcast. But it is the, they have a big light display, like millions of lights, in the Live Oaks and in the Botanical Garden. And it runs from Thanksgiving through New Year's each year. And it's one of the most popular attractions in the park. John was saying last time, it's certainly their biggest fundraiser. But you park, you pay your fee, and you wander through the gardens. And so they have all kinds of light displays, both like they have sort of a Trojan horse as sort of a new addition, and a Ferris wheel that you don't ride, but that is a lighted display. They have these dripping lights from the oak trees. They highlight under one of those, Enrique Alferez sculptures. There's a lot of music. Again, there's live music, so there's like caroling and that sort of thing. But again, keeping with the, we love New Orleans, we love Louisiana, and we like to show it off, there's a Cajun Night Before Christmas. There's a book you can buy called The Cajun Night Before Christmas. But there's a huge light display that kind of tells the story of the Cajun Night Before Christmas, and I won't give it all away. You'll have to go online or buy the book or come in town to Celebration in the Oaks. But that's fun for all ages. I've been there before we had kids, sort of on a date night, and that's a lot of fun. Now with the kids, and you'll see plenty of kids running around in the park at Celebration in the Oaks, that's just a really fun time to go, and it's also a great way to see the park. You wander through Storyland that we talked about earlier and through the Botanical Garden. So it's a great way to see it and to experience some holiday festivities. You could get there early before sunset, go have beignets at morning call, or you could try to do that afterwards. You could even tie into City Putt, though those things get busy, obviously. That's a one time a year that sometimes it's hard to park in the park. By the way, if you do go to Celebration in the Oaks, here's a couple of insider tips. You want to get there right at sunset or maybe even a little earlier so you beat the crowds, both from a parking point of view and just getting in. And you can buy tickets online, again, at neworleanscitypark.com or through the friendsofcitypark.com. They both have links, I believe, to where you can buy tickets. And if you buy tickets online, you have to print them. So they haven't quite moved into the electronic age where you could just show like a barcode. You have to print them. But if you buy them online and you print them, you can avoid the lines to get in and to buy the tickets. And so that can be quite lengthy. You know, it can be a half hour wait or 20 minute wait. Again, with 2 5-year-olds, we don't like to wait at all. And let's be honest, I'm not the most patient person either. But that's a good tip. So you want to print those tickets ahead of time, buy them and print them so you can walk right in. But Celebration of the Oaks is number 9 on my list. And certainly it's something we don't miss in that we go every year. Interestingly, it used to be before Katrina, they had like a driving exhibit, if you will. So you could pay just a couple dollars and just drive through this tree-lined boulevard with all the lights. And that was a lot of fun. And I guess that's one of the things that post-Katrina they decided to get rid of. And they just have the structure that you walk through now in the gardens that you walk through. But The flip side of that is it's much more extensive than it used to be. And it really is nice when you're wandering through with family and, you know, you have the carols and the music in the air. It's just a really festive thing to do. So now that leads me to number 10 on the list. And this is a relatively new thing. In the front of the park, so again, we go back to, you hop off the streetcar and you wander down DeLong Avenue headed towards the New Orleans Museum of Art just ahead of you. Off to your right is an area called Big Lake. So it's one of the lagoons in the park. It's actually, so not far from City Park or from the part of the park we've been discussing, just a couple miles further north is the actual Big Lake, that is Lake Pontchartrain. But Big Lake and City Park has become a really great destination post-Katrina for families and individuals just to get out and exercise. But one of the things that's interesting is that Big Lake is essentially a scale replica of Lake Pontchartrain. So it has the same kind of curves and shape and the dimensions. Again, it's scaled down, but it gives you a sense, if you're aware of it, of kind of the way the lake works, where it's really wide in one part and then a good bit narrower in another part. Another thing about Big Lake that maybe people don't realize, and I don't know why they would if they weren't from here, but City Park used to have four golf courses. So right now we have one course, and they're about to open a second PGA-style course. But the very first course was called the South Course, and it wasn't quite an executive course if you're a golfer. It's a little bit bigger, but it was relatively short. Well, they closed all of them after Katrina. Basically, the whole park was flooded, and as they've slowly opened the golf back up, there really isn't a need, I don't think, for four courses, and even before Katrina. But the South Course, Big Lake, was on what was essentially part of that course. And while I grew up playing golf, and I played a lot on that course because it was easy to go get around in after school or work, it's really become a much better use of the park and of that part. It's just there's a lot to do. It seems to draw a lot of people to it. So what can you do at Big Lake? Well, there's a 3/4 mile walking, jogging, sort of bicycling path around it. You can rent bikes there, and you can rent all kinds of bikes. They have singles and tandems. They even have these little Surreys, 4-person bikes with a canopy on it. I've been afraid to do it because I can envision that this is going to be me pedaling the entire family around the lake. So I haven't quite done that yet. There are boat rentals there. You can rent a canoe. You can rent a pedal boat, which is always fun. They actually have Italian-style or Venice-style gondola rides there. We haven't done that, but you can get a little guided tour there. Also, you've heard me talk a lot so far about art. And City Park, like much of New Orleans, just is almost dripping in art. So as you wander around Big Lake, there's several art installations. One of my favorites is something called the Singing Oak. So there's a live oak tree that has wind chimes in it, but they are set so they're within a certain octave. And one of the wind chimes, I think, is 15 or 16 feet tall or long from top to bottom. And so, you know, as you wander under that oak tree or just stop for a little bit, it sings, it plays music. So that's a pretty interesting and popular thing there. There are also lots of festivals, small festivals, that take place right in that area throughout the year. And just across, there's a small street. So if you've come down DeLong and then there's Big Lake, on the other side of Big Lake, there's a small street. It's called Friedrich Avenue. When you cross that, is an area that, again, was part of City Park South Golf Course back in the day, but it's now called the Festival Grounds. So there's another 1 mile loop there. So again, you could do 3/4 miles around the Big Lake. You could cross the street and do a 1 mile loop. Now, I grew up running in the park. I have literally run thousands of miles in City Park back when I was growing up and training later for marathons, lots and lots of miles there. So you can easily get a short run or a 6, 8, 10 mile run in the park with no problem. And you can get a lot of that shaded. But these two little paths here, the 3/4 mile loop and then the 1 mile loop across the street, have become really popular. So you go out in the afternoons on weekends or after work, and you'll see a lot of people out there really enjoying it. And I mentioned they call it the Festival Grounds, one of the big, big music festivals here, the Voodoo Music Experience, Art and Music Experience in the fall. On Halloween weekend, is held there. And in the summer, I'm recording this in mid-March, and we're just about to head into festival season. So there'll be all sorts of festivals out on the grounds there. So it's really easy. Again, there's a lot of parking nearby, so you want to keep that in mind. But the Big Lake is really a lot of fun. It's beautiful too. You know, they've done a great job with plantings and with the artwork and flowers and all that. And it's so much better use of the space. And I never thought I would say that when that golf course didn't come back. But it's just been, I think in many ways, just a more inclusive area and a beautiful part of the park. So again, if you took the streetcar when you got off, as you started walking towards the Museum of Art, it would be to your right. And definitely something that I think is worth doing and again, exploring a little bit. And here's a bit of Lagniappe. So I mentioned the festival grounds and the 1 mile loop there. There's a little playground right there. They just opened it in the last year or so. It's called the Circumference Playground. Get it? Circumference, of course. And it's a very, it feels like American Ninja Warrior, if you've ever heard that or seen that show, where there's lots of climbing and kind of very kinetic type things, as opposed to traditional playground toys and apparatus. And so it's much smaller than the one I mentioned over by Morning Call, but my kids really enjoy it. Recently, they put a cover over it, so it's shaded from the New Orleans summer heat a little bit, or at least the sunlight. And there's an apparatus in the middle that they can climb up. And sometimes you'll see dads like myself have to go rescue a kid who's climbed up and can't quite figure out how to get back down the ropes. But if you are in the park with kids and the area right outside the Morning Call is really crowded, particularly say on weekends, wander over to Big Lake and then cross the street and you'll see this little park right at the edge of the 1 mile loop there. And again, if you don't have kids, there's a sort of a breezeway area there to the entrance with some tables and places just to relax. And also you got the path there. Really, it's become one of the more popular things in the park. And I have to say, as devastating as Katrina was, and you heard John talk last time that every single piece of equipment they owned was underwater. They lost a couple thousand trees, I believe, by the time it was all said and done. And just absolutely devastating, obviously, not only to the city, but to City Park. And now, as we spend time in the park, and we spend a lot of time in the park, both with the kids, and again, I mentioned that I like to run, I think it's just blossoming post-Katrina, and as good as it was before, I think it's as good as it's ever been, certainly in my lifetime. There's just so much going on, and so much expansion, and so much just development. Every time we go, we see different things that they're working on. They're going to move the Children's Museum, which is currently down in the Warehouse District. They recently broke ground. They're going to move that into City Park, and they're going to be able to have more space and be able to do some STEM-related kind of things. It's really going to be great. They're always adding these outdoor art installations. You heard me talk about the Botanical Garden and the Sculpture Garden. Well, there's also all kinds of art throughout the park, so that as you're wandering around, whether you're running or walking, you know, or just strolling from one of the things I mentioned to another, you'll see artwork. And the best part is, with the exception of the New Orleans Museum of Art, and a couple of things I guess I mentioned, most of it is free or very, very inexpensive. So again, if you want to go get beignets and coffee, you're talking about $5 or $6 a person at most. You know, an order of beignets is 3 beignets, although, you know, I certainly think you should get at least 3 per person. But wandering through the Old Grove, the Peristyle, the Pop Band Stand, a lot of these things that we've talked about, again, are free. And maybe the most expensive is to, you know, take a family into the Carousel Gardens amusement park. But other than that, you know, this is a great way to go explore a part of New Orleans, enjoy some history, enjoy the oak trees, all that sort of stuff. And it's very inexpensive. Again, as I mentioned earlier, not a lot of food choices in the park. But if you're taking the streetcar, it's called the Canal Street Streetcar. So it starts on Canal Street at the foot of Canal Street, right up against the Mississippi River. And it goes down Canal Street and it turns onto Carrollton Avenue headed north. No one in New Orleans uses compass directions, by the way, but Carrollton is headed towards Lake Pontchartrain at that point. And if you're on the streetcar, you will pass places to eat. So on Canal Street, and then when it turns, you're going to pass a bunch of good options. But right in the park, there's not a whole lot. So it's something you want to keep in mind. You know, you do want to have a snack or maybe take a look online or reach out to me and have a plan. but plenty of choices along the streetcar line. And so you can really make a good day, or certainly a morning or an afternoon, taking the streetcar down and just enjoying the sights there, hopping off and then wandering through the park. And again, I've given you 10 or 11 things that I really like to do. I tried to keep in mind things that you could do if you don't have a car. If you do have a car, I would add just one or two other things sort of as lagniappe, a little something extra is what lagniappe means, right? There's actually a forest in the middle of City Park. It's called the Kuteri Forest, C-O-U-T-E-R-I-E. And it's a 60-acre forest. Harrison Avenue runs from Wisner Boulevard and Bayou St. John through the park to Marconi Avenue and beyond. So it cuts the park very roughly in half. And in the middle there, on Harrison Avenue, really kind of in the center of the park, is this forest. Again, it's 60 acres. There's another one-mile loop in the forest. It takes you to the highest point in New Orleans, which is a whopping 48 feet. So if you are a New Orleanian, you probably want to get a Sherpa and some oxygen to make sure you can get up there. There's not much of a lookout. I mean, there actually is a lookout point, but at least when I've been up there recently, you're surrounded by trees and live oaks, so you can't really see too much. But it's a neat experience. And as you wander through the path, a lot of it is along some of the lagoons. So it's definitely scenic. It's shaded and it's mulched, which is pretty nice. So it's a pretty soft walking surface to go through or to run through. And it's just something interesting, particularly if you're from New Orleans or you live here. I bet a lot of you listening maybe didn't even know that the forest was there. And I certainly, I think I went back there once or twice as a kid and then sort of forgot about it. But the paths and the trails are in great shape. I don't know a whole lot about birds, but I am told that it's a great birding area. And it's just a lot of fun. I didn't mention it sort of as the top 10, because if you don't have a car, it's a little bit of a walk to get to the middle there. But if you have a car, keep that in mind. You want to do a little bit of hiking, but certainly nothing strenuous. That would be something fun to do. And again, I've covered 10 or 11 things, but you could easily come up with 100 different things to do in the park. There's a soccer complex, there's softball fields, there's an equestrian area, there are the tennis that I mentioned, golf. You could just go on and on. I hope what you've gotten to see is there's just a lot to do in the park. And if I sound excited about it, it's because I just think it's so much fun. And particularly if you're going to be here for a few days, you've been to New Orleans before, you want to get out of the French Quarter, get out of maybe the Garden District, and go do something else. Go spend an afternoon or a morning in City Park. Again, just sort of be prepared to walk a lot, maybe have a little bit of a plan, but I'm here to help you out with that. And I think there's so much to do there and things you might not think of. So you can get great photos. You can have, you know, great beignets, certainly celebration in the Oaks, and some of those other things we talked about. As always, we're going to put the notes over at beyondbourbonst.com/33, and you can reach out to me if you have any questions. But the two links you need are neworleanscitypark.com and friendsofcitypark.com. And I mentioned Friends of City Park because a lot of times their lowest membership level, I think, is $65. So if you have a family of four, depending on what you're going to do, it would essentially pay for itself in one visit or certainly two visits. As we wrap up, I want to say a special thanks to Kate McCreary, who helps me with the research. I hadn't mentioned Kate in a while, and particularly on a topic like City Park, where there's so much, she does a lot of legwork to help me prepare and have everything ready. So when I am ready to talk about a topic, it's all right there for me. So a big thanks to Kate. I mentioned at the beginning of the show the travel consultation that I've been offering. That's been really fun. It's a way to kind of do a deep dive with you and help you plan your specific trip for your dates and what you want to get out of your visit to New Orleans. So if you're interested in that, send me an email at mark@beyondbourbonst.com and I'll give you the information on it. If you want to hear more shows like this one, please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have an idea for a future episode, or you just want to reach out to me, again, my email is mark@beyondbourbonst.com. We're working on future episodes, including another two-parter about Storyville, which was the historic red light district in New Orleans. We're also cooking up a special April Fool's edition and more. New episodes are available every other Wednesday. And if you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you and me. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler. Mm.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.